We're going to read the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. I think it's a very optimistic part of Scripture. I love how Jesus lays this out. And we're going to read verses 1 through 12. And if you're willing and able, please rise for the reading of the Gospel text. Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, beginning at verse 1, continuing in Jesus' name. After these things, the Lord appointed another 70 also, and sent them out two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore he said unto them, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways, behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And into whatsoever house ye enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, the peace shall rest upon it. And if not, it shall turn to you again. And the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as are given, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. And whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you, eat such things that are set before you, and heal the sick that are therein, and saith unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same, and say, even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth to us, we wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be ye sure this, that the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. But I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable in that day for of Sodom than for that city. Amen. Please be seated. Gracious Heavenly Father, this is your word that's before us. It is a powerful word. It speaks truth. And Father, the vision that you give to us in and through this word is powerful. We pray that you would sanctify us in the truth, for we know your word is truth. Ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Jesus just spoke about the cost of discipleship before he enters into this text. He really brings home that we are to put our hand to the plow and that we are not to look back. This message is not intended to be a guilt-ridden message. It just comes down, I pray, to the practicality of who are we and how in reality will we reach the people. We could turn around and we can advertise to people that, you know what, we have special services. We could put it in the newspaper that Easter's coming up and we got our Monday, Thursday services. We got our Good Friday service and then we'll have Easter service. And that's wonderful. I don't think we should stop doing those kind of things. But if people aren't impressed or it's not impressed in their life to go to church, what makes us believe, and I'm not saying it's not possible, but that they're going to read in the Daily Mining Gazette and I'll be rushing up. We talk about the aspect of faith. And our faith in reality is, as someone shared with me last night even, the Bible that the world often will read. And I've made a statement even from this pulpit before, what translation are they reading? We have a tendency within our more conservative group to argue over translations. But what version of the Bible are we? Are we representing the love and the life of Jesus Christ? And I'm not asking anybody to be a Bible thumper. I'm not asking people to stand on street corners. Actually, I think it's very simple. To live our lives in peace, in unity one with another, and to share our love, our time, and our compassion with those around us. And actually, I do think that to invite somebody. Maybe you do, and if you do, kudos. I mean, that's awesome. Praise God. But how often do we literally just say, hey, listen, I see you're going through some struggles in your life. I'm not saying this is going to be the answer to everything, but I know in my tough times, the Lord has definitely helped me. Maybe you could come with me some Sunday. Not just, hey, show up at Zion. Maybe you could come with me. Maybe we could sit together. I remember one individual that was contemplating going to church, and he was pretty close to me. And I am not an emotional person. I wish I could be more emotional. I think as I get older it's happening, but I was raised in a home that if I cried, I got beat for it. So you know what happens. You have a tendency not to cry. But this individual told me that I would love to go to church, but I would cry. I said, well, come, and I'll sit next to you and we'll cry together. Jesus is moving forward with the power of the kingdom of God. And we say very strongly from the scripture that faith cometh by hearing. In what? Hearing of the word of God. But do we use that at times? And I'm asking myself, I don't need to ask you, but it wouldn't hurt for you to ask the question also. Do I expect them to walk through these doors before they can? What is the hearing of the word of God? Is it not also a living testimony of our lives? Is it not us also not sharing with them and encouraging them? We have a lot of people around us that are hurting. As Brother Mark spoke, look on the back of our bulletin alone, and this is just one congregation, and we have all kinds of people that have issues. We don't have to stand long in line at Walmart to realize there's all kinds of issues there. We turn and we look at what Jesus does. He now appoints another 72 to enter out ahead of him. And he sends them out two by two to go into the towns and places where he was about to go. To do some prep work, if you could say it in this way. But listen to the words that he speaks back in his day and age. And I think it's very optimistic. In fact, I think it's a beautiful scene that we see here. He says to them, he says, the harvest is plentiful and the laborers are few. He looks out and it's as though you get this vision of this harvest that's just ready to be taken in. And can turn around in this day and age, and we often have a tendency, I can only pick on myself, to see the negative. This world in reality is going down the hill. There's nothing good anymore. It's all doom and gloom, we quite often can say. But can we also see the other side of it? That it is a world that is ripe and ready for good news. It is a world that is ripe and ready to be encouraged to receive something that will actually give them hope. Each and every one of us has individuals around us that we could just encourage. Jesus says the harvest is plentiful. There's no shortage. Sometimes I think we have this understanding that it's so dismal out there, there's barely any. There's any, hardly any that are ready. And he says the harvest is plentiful. He says, but really, the laborers are few. And I'm not talking about a works righteousness. And I know this could be taken wrong because then individuals can say, well, now you're laying it all on my shoulders. No, actually, Scripture brings about of who we are. Does it not say in the Scripture in Matthew that we are the salt of the earth? Does it not say within Matthew that we are the light of this world? That we have an impact. And so when you turn around and you see what's going on here within this text, you find very strongly Jesus himself is optimistic about those that are in great need. And now he turns around and he says, don't take it upon yourselves, but rather pray. Pray that the Father, pray that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers. And guess what's happening? The very ones he's speaking to, he is sending out. He's not talking to a fourth-year seminary student. He's not talking to an individual that is the head of a congregation or the synagogue or is a leader in the worship in the temple. He's not even talking in reality, and I'm not saying it excludes them, but he's not talking at the moment to a group of scribes and Pharisees. That's not what he's talking about. These are followers. And he's encouraging them that they would be equipped because it comes from God the Father. It just seems so many times that we turn in this day and age and we think, we'll leave it up to the next guy. We'll leave it up to the next one. It's interesting, when I was new to faith, in fact, I wasn't even a believer. I guess that's what I categorize myself. I was surrounded by a bunch of individuals that just shared. There's one individual very specifically that I remember. He would just be encouraging to me. I worked at a big scaffolding company, Vanguard Manufacturing in New England. And this individual was an elder gentleman, very patient, very kind. And I was a punk. And he just loved me. He encouraged me. And he shared with me. And then he would once in a while just invite me. That's all it was. Oh, there were individuals that told me I was going to hell. There were individuals that told me I point blank had to straighten up my life or God was going to fry me for that. Oh, that worked. But these individuals that just came alongside of me and encouraged me, shared the goodness of God, and just told me in reality they'd love to see me come to a service. Anytime. Jesus says the harvest is plentiful. There's so many out there in great need. He says, but really the issue is also that there's few laborers. You know, even when you deal, especially with the days that Jesus is speaking in with the harvest, it wasn't one individual that went out and harvested these fields. It was a band of workers that went out into those fields, and they went through the fields pretty thoroughly. I say pretty because God even commanded that the edges would be left for the widows. But they did it thoroughly to the point of receiving that crop and that reward. It's not about one or two individuals. It's not about just seven board members. You don't have to have any great qualifications to love people, to encourage people. Jesus says they're ready. They're ready to receive. He says, but pray that now the Lord of the harvest will send them out. And he says, and so then also, he says, go your way. He says, now go. Go out into these fields. And he says, and I'm sending you forth, but I want you to understand, I'm sending you as lambs amongst wolves. That there's going to be those predators. There's going to be those difficult times. And we aren't to pick up our arms and start battling, but rather that we would enter out there with that tender and soft message of exactly what this world needs to hear. Love. We're heading into the Easter season. There's no way around it. We're going to go through Maundy Thursday where Jesus now himself acts as a servant and washes the disciples' feet. We're going to see him now institute the Lord's Supper as they celebrate the Passover. We're going to see that one will betray him. We're going to see that in that betrayal, he goes to that cross. And on that cross, the people will wag their head at him and think he's nuts because he could save everybody else. But why doesn't he save himself? Because he didn't come to raise those kinds of arms. He didn't come to fight those kinds of battles. In reality, he fought the battle of a lifetime by paying the penalty of our sin. By surrendering everything he had to give us everything we didn't. I'm not asking that now we all become a Messiah. That's not going to be the reality. But because I have received, can I not give? He says, there is a harvest that is ready. He says, and I'm sending you out into that harvest. And I want you to understand, you are to be as lambs amongst wolves. That you would go out there. and that you would encourage them that need it so badly. If anybody needed taming, who was it? The wolves. It wasn't the lambs. He says, I don't need you. He says, I don't want you to start carrying a money bag. He says, don't take anything with you. Don't take and try to make provision for yourself. I think this is very much what he's saying. He says, God will provide. It's not just for the buckies. God will provide for you and for all of us. How can we err when we're acting in love? How can we err when we in reality are seeking for the betterment of another? He says very plainly, he says, don't even greet anybody. Now, this is not rude. What he's saying is, your task is so important, don't be delayed by being social. Share the message. Bring them the good news. That the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Bring this message to the people. And so many times it seems that I get caught in details, I get caught in all the other things, but have we accomplished the will of the Father by sharing with those around us that God loves them? That God desires relationship with them? And that there is, in all honesty, a better way? That there is a hope? People are seeking for peace. We think maybe they're more in turmoil, but they're seeking for peace. They're seeking for comfort. They're seeking for something to make them in reality feel the love that they so long to have. And that is found in and through Jesus Christ. We see it quite often, even with the youth of our generations. I was there, I'm not making fun of them. But they're always trying to identify, or at least many can try to identify, through their peers. We try to find our identity in a boyfriend or a girlfriend or what other thing. Our identity is found in who we are. Created by God. Restored by Christ. This is an image that is so powerful and so great that we should share this with the world, that they would also have the same hope. As we enter into this Easter season and we speak the words, He is risen, do we not understand He is risen indeed for us and for them? If there was a time and need for hope and restoration ever, it is now. It's not a future thing. It is now. What do we speak to the world? What do we speak even by our actions? What do we speak to our friends that are going through turmoil or going through struggle? Do we speak the words of comfort in Christ? Or do we just slap them on the back and say, toughen up, it'll get better, buttercup? He says, I'm sending you out, and I understand exactly where I'm sending you. But remember how he opened us. Pray to the Lord of the harvest. Pray to God the Father that we would be empowered. He says, and you know what? Wherever you go, and I love this statement, wherever you go, he says, bring peace. Bring peace. He doesn't say bring correction, bring division, straighten them up, get them to smarten up, make them come to your church, make sure that they've been this, this, and this. He says, when you enter into this area and you enter into this home, you bring peace. Isn't that an interesting thing? To bring peace. Do we see anywhere within the New Testament readings where we encounter Jesus Christ where it says, oh, be scared? Do we find when they're up in the upper room after the Easter season or after the resurrection during the Easter season, do we find when he comes in the upper room, he's like, you bunch of boneheads, what are you doing? Why are you so crazy? He says, peace. Peace be unto you. Fear not. And then when you turn around and you see one who is so obstinate and who is me in reality as Thomas and says, unless I see him, I will not believe. And he tells Thomas, peace. And here I am, Thomas. Touch me.
But do it fearlessly. Do it boldly. He says, wherever you go, bring that message of peace. We've turned this around, even in our culture, and I'm talking in Lestadiusism, you know, the Lestadius movement. We've screwed this all up. I belong to this church, you belong to that church. We have this greeting of God's peace, and we're all good to go. And I'll greet the ones I want and the ones I don't want, because I'm not afraid of. I can't greet them. And it's like, that's not what Scripture says. Wherever we go, we bring the message of peace. And if they don't receive it, we'll get her. Don't worry about it. It's not going to be wasted. Do we have our exclusive clubs? I think as human beings, we quite often do, and I'm not immune to that. He says, wherever you enter, first say, peace be to this house. He says, and if the Son of Peace is there, he says, your peace will rest upon it. There will be that mutual unity. He says, and if not, it's not wasted. You'll still receive a peace. Why? Because you've done exactly what you've been called to do. We're not here to judge. Even when he says the harvest is plentiful, we find another part of Scripture where Jesus turns around very plainly and he says, now look at this. I'm giving you this parable that there's the wheat and the tares. He says, and we need to leave them. We're not to pick out the ones that we think are good and bad. We don't pull out the tares and try to leave the wheat. He says, you actually don't know. What you think is good is probably bad. What you think is bad is probably good. You're going to mess it all up. He said, let the Lord decipher this. You have a job to do. We have a job to do. Bring peace. He says, and you will have peace even if they don't receive it because you have done your part. He says, remain in that house. He says, eating and drinking what they provide. We might think, well, what's this mean? Remember, he's speaking to a bunch of Israelites. He's speaking to a bunch of individuals that would want to remain ceremonial clean. And so they wouldn't want to become contaminated by doing certain things and different things. And he turns around, he blows that all out of the water. He says, serve the people. Stop worrying about all of this stuff. He says, wherever you go, receive what they offer you. I heard of an individual, I don't know how much truth it is, but I got it from a pretty reliable source, that they were on a mission trip somewhere. And when they went on this mission trip there, I believe were in Russia, and they turned around and they were having dinner, and someone at the table had pulled out this bottle of vodka. And he poured little glasses of vodka. And someone was so indignant that they were just quite angry, and they started to preach to these individuals that they would never do such a thing. And one of the other mission leaders came out and pulled him outside and told him straight out, you do not chew these people out. They are doing what is cultural to them. They are giving you the best they have to offer in such a poor area. They are giving you the best. You don't have to drink the whole bottle. Now, I'm not saying that we go sit at the bars now and just get hammered and blame it on God and say I'm doing it for everybody else. But what he's saying there is that you turn around and you understand the application you're in. What is offered to you? I remember one time, a few years ago, I went out to East Coast and I was sitting at a dining room table and the family that was there, I knew them all from high school, they poured a glass of wine. I hate wine. Sorry, just do. I drank it. They were treating me as an honored guest. Isn't that crazy, eh? I still think I'm going to make it to heaven. He says, so now. He says, eating and drinking what they provide. He says, the laborer deserves the wages. He says, don't go shopping. Don't try to find cronies that'll fit in with you. Don't try to go see who's got best or who's got this. He says, whatever house you go to, he says, stay there. Don't go from house to house. He says, whenever you enter town, he says, and they receive you, he says, eat what is set before you. Don't let the externals hurt the internal. Don't do that. Apostle Paul himself, who was a Pharisee of Pharisees at one point, turns around and he says, if there's meat that is offered to a sacrifice, and you know there's nothing in that sacrifice, he says, eat it, because it's good meat. But then Apostle Paul also tells us, he says, but if you will stumble, if that is an offense to you, he says, then don't, because it's not worth it. And so he turns around, he says, whatever is set before you, partake. Don't be an offense, but rather be an encourager. He says, and heal the sick. Can you imagine that? He says, heal the sick. He says, and tell them and share with them that the kingdom of God is at hand. So do you hear what is being said here? We're running out of time. So I want you to hear the message. We are coming towards one of the most glorious times of the church year, that we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We're living in a time and a day and age where they think in the world that the church is dead. Why? Are we speaking life? Are we encouraging? Are we maybe analyzing people on what they eat, what they drink, what they wear? Or are we just encouraging them that they may come in reality to know Christ? And this is the beauty of it. If they come to know Christ, faith cometh by hearing. If they come to the Word, if they come in reality by your Word speaking life into them, they come to faith. God will cleanse them. See, that's where we get off schedule. Jesse wants to change people's lives to make them worthy to come through these doors. Well, that'll never happen. I'll tell you right now, as my job as a pastor, it's not my job to change anybody. Did you hear what I said? It's not my job to change anybody. It is our job to preach the gospel, to share the good news of Jesus Christ, to live a testimony of His life, that by faith through grace they would be changed. By hearing the Word, they would change, that under the imputation of the Holy Spirit, they would be conformed to the image of His Son. It is not our job. He says, go out. The harvest is ready. He says, but pray to the Lord of the harvest that He would equip you. He says, man, if they don't receive you in a certain town, don't sweat it. That's a pretty bold statement, isn't it? In a town. We have a tendency to, you know, all of a sudden someone rejects us in Walmart and we want to burn the whole building down. In a town. May God be glorified. May we love. May we encourage. May we also not only live in that Spirit of God, but may we also share that love and that Spirit with others. And may we have enough concern for our neighbor that we would just say, hey, I see things are tough. I know what I do in these times. Would you come with me? It doesn't have to be Zion. God is good. He has given us so many beautiful things. He gave us His Son. Should we not share that with the world? For Jesus' name's sake.